Out of the last of the twilight came Deucalion with a suitcase, in clothes too heavy for the sultry night. This neighborhood offered markedly less glamour than the French Quarter. Seedy bars, pawn shops, liquor stores, head shops. Once a grand movie house, the Lux Theater had become a shabby relic specializing in revivals. On the marquee, unevenly spaced loose plastic letters spelled out the current double feature. Thursday through Sunday, Don Siegel Revival. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Hell is for Heroes. The marquee was dark, the theater closed either for the night or permanently. He slipped into a service walk beside the movie palace. For more than two centuries, he had used back doors or even more arcane entrances. Behind the theater, a bare bulb in a wire cage above the back door shed light as drab and gray as this litter-strewn alleyway. Sporting multiple layers of cracked and chipped paint, the door was a scab in the brick wall. Deucalion studied the latch, the lock, and decided to use the bell. He pushed the button, and moments later he sensed that he was being studied through the fish-eye security lens. The lock rattled, and the door opened to reveal a sweet face and merry eyes peering out of a prison of flesh. At 5'7" and perhaps 300 pounds, this guy was twice the man he should have been.
"Are you Jelly Biggs?" Deucalion asked.
"Do I look like I'm not?"
"You're not fat enough."
"When I was a star in the 10-1, I weighed almost 300 more."
"Ben sent for me. I'm Deucalion."
"Yeah, I figured. In the old days, a face like yours was gold in the carnival."
"We're both blessed, aren't we?"
Stepping back, motioning Deucalion to enter, Biggs said,
"Ben told me a lot about you. He didn't mention the tattoo."
"It's new."
"They're fashionable these days," said Jelly Biggs.
Deucalion stepped across the threshold into a wide but shabby hallway.
"And me," he said dryly, "I've always been a fashion plate."
Behind the big theater screen, the Lux featured a labyrinth of passages. Jelly led the way past crates and moisture-curled posters and stand-ups that promoted old films.
"Ben put 7 names on the letter he sent me," Deucalion said.
"You once mentioned Rombuck Monastery, so he figured you might still be there, but he didn't know what name you'd be using."
"He shouldn't have shared my names."
"Just knowing your aliases doesn't mean I can mojo you."
They arrived at a door that wore an armor-thick coat of green paint. Biggs opened it, switched on a light, gestured for Deucalion to enter ahead of him. A windowless but cozy apartment lay beyond. A kitchenette was adjacent to the combination bedroom and living room. Jelly Biggs said,
"It's a sweet place you inherited."
The key word whipped through Deucalion's mind before lashing back with a sharp sting.
"Inherited? What do you mean? Where's Ben?"
Jelly looked surprised.
"You didn't get my letter?"
"Only his."
Jelly sat on one of the chrome and red vinyl chairs at the dinette table. It creaked.
"Ben was mugged."
"The world is an ocean of pain." Deucalion felt the old familiar tide wash through him.
"This isn't the best part of town, and getting worse," Biggs said. "Ben bought the Lux when he retired from the carnival. The neighborhood was supposed to be turning around. It didn't. The place would be hard to sell these days, so Ben wanted to hold on."
"How did it happen?" Deucalion asked.
"Stabbed more than 20 times.
Anger like a long repressed hunger rose in Deucalion. If he let this anger grow, it would quickly become fury and devour him. For decades he had kept this lightning in a bottle, securely stoppered, but now he longed to pull the cork. And then what? Become the monster again? Pursued by mobs with torches, with pitchforks and guns, running, running, running with hounds baying for his blood.
"He was everybody's second father," said Jelly Biggs. "Best damn Connie boss I ever knew."
During the past 2 centuries, Ben Jonas had been one of a precious handful of people with whom Deucalion had shared his true origins, one of the few he had ever trusted completely. He said,
"He was murdered after he contacted me."
Biggs frowned.
"You say that like there's a connection."
"Did they ever find the killer?"
"No, that's not unusual. The letter to you, The mugging? Just a coincidence.
At last, putting down his suitcase, Deucalion said, "There are no coincidences." Pointing toward the kitchenette, Jelly said,
"Besides the theater, Ben left you 60,000 cash. It's in the freezer."
Deucalion considered this revelation for a moment, then said, "He didn't trust many people." Jelly shrugged.
"What do I need with money when I've got such good looks?"